Lord, we just thank you that you are here with us this morning, and we pray that you would open our hearts, Lord, to hear your message. I pray that you would speak to each one of us, Lord, and I pray that you would give me the words to say, your words, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. Right, so today we're looking at Ezekiel. Over the last few weeks, we've been looking at the building of the temple by Solomon, and that's been from the book of Chronicles. And so that was very much talking about a physical building, the physical temple. But in Ezekiel, this is a little bit different, because Ezekiel is having a vision of what this temple is like. And it says how, that if you just go back a few verses, it says that the man whose face shone like bronze took him about, and he showed him the temple, he showed him all the measurements and how big different places needed to be and how far away from each other. It was all very, very specific. And also we hear about how the river flows out from this temple. And I think it's really important as well, if we just go back a little bit, to understand that this temple had been filled with the glory of God. So I'm going to read a little bit from chapter 43, verse 2. It says, "The glory of the God of Israel appeared from the east. The sound of his coming was like the roar of rushing waters, and the whole landscape shone with his glory." I just think it's really important to know that it's from this incredibly holy place, full of God's glory, that this river emerges. So God's strength and power is the source of this river. It's not just any old river. Now this passage is, or can be divided into two halves. The first section is all about the man leading Ezekiel along the river. And he makes him walk across at different sections. I'm just going to talk you through it just so that we can really imagine what that is like. So they start off at the temple. And in my Bible at home, it says that they walked 1,750 feet along the riverbank, and then they crossed over the water. They walked across, and at this point, the water was ankle deep. Then they carried on along the riverbank the same distance and walked back across the water. This time, the water was up to their knees. Then they carried on along the riverbank, and same distance again, and they walked over again, and this time the water was up to their waists. Then they carry along on the riverbank the same distance again, and this time they don't get in, but they stop and they look at the water, and they see how deep it is, and they know that they can't walk across that across the river there. It's too deep. If they want to go in, they're going to have to swim. The second section of the passage is all about the effect that this powerful, life-giving river has on its surroundings. We hear about how the river brings life to places where there has previously been no growth. We know that it flows through the desert, and yet there are trees growing either side of the riverbank. We know that it flows into the Dead Sea, and we know that the Dead Sea is a place where the water is so salty that nothing can live there. And yet, this life-giving river pours into the Dead Sea, and there's abundance of life that sort of begins. So the Dead Sea would be teeming with living creatures. So again, there is power in this river. Now going back to section one, there are three questions that I'd like to look at. One, what meaning is attached to where the man stands in the river? Two, I want us to think about where we are in the river, or perhaps even we're on the riverbank. And the third question, do we want to go deeper into the river? So, looking at question one, what meaning is attached to where the man is standing? I think that we can look at this as meaning how open we are to the Holy Spirit. And I think it's also about who is in control of our lives. Is it us that's in control, or are we allowing God to be in control? Perhaps if we're in the shallower waters, we're quite happy to have maybe a little bit of the Holy Spirit, but we don't want too much, thank you. Perhaps we want to be in control of our choices. Perhaps we want to be in control of our hearts. We don't want him to affect us too much, make us cry, make us be full of joy. And I just think, if we are still walking on the riverbed, then we still have that element of control. We can still direct where we walk to and where we're going. In the deeper water, actually, we would find that we don't have the same amount of control. It's a safe place. We can swim in that water. But I like to think of it as God's current being there in that deep water, and he begins to move us around to the places that he wants us to be. So we've handed over that control to God. I just think it's really good to point out it is a choice, you know, to be in that deep water. It is a choice to stay in the shallower waters. And I think it's really important to point out that if we do progress into the deeper waters, we still have that choice to go back to the shallower waters. You know, it is our choice the whole time. God is a gentleman. He doesn't ever force us to do anything that we don't want to do. It's up to us. I would say that I have been at probably all of the different areas in the river at different times in my life. And I would say that even when I have been in the depths and swimming, I can suddenly find myself having drifted back towards the shallower waters again. And I haven't really chosen to do that, but gradually perhaps I've just started taking control of things again, doing things in my own strength. So I think it's something we have to keep addressing. We have to keep thinking about, you know, where we are in the river. So the second question, let's ask ourselves, where am I in the river right now? Or am I on the riverbank? Perhaps if we've never actually accepted Jesus as our Saviour and Lord, perhaps we are on the riverbank. Perhaps we look on at everybody else in the water, but it's not quite for us. Maybe today we might choose to step in. If we are in the river, then where are we? I think it's really important to point out that there's no such thing as better Christians or worse Christians. We are all sinners. We have all been saved by Jesus, and we've all been given the gift of the Holy Spirit. But there are different levels of intimacy with the Holy Spirit. The more we let him in, the more he can shape our decisions. The more he can bring healing into our lives. The more we can deeply know God the Father, the more we can know how much he really, really loves us. The more we can speak God's truths to other people. The more we are filled with the Holy Spirit, the more we can radiate God's love and truths to others. So it's all about more. It's an exciting thing. So let's ask ourselves again, where am I in the river today? Am I in the shallow waters, or am I swimming in the depths? Having thought about our answers to that question, my next question is, do we want to go deeper? Do we want to go deeper into the river? Are we hungry for more? If the answer is yes, then we can do this by inviting the Spirit into our hearts. Perhaps when we're praying, it could be in church. We could say, Lord, I invite you in. I invite your Holy Spirit to fill me more today. It doesn't have to be at church, though. It can be at home. It can be when you're sitting quietly in a room somewhere, just praying. A few years ago, I got to the point where I really felt that I would like to have the gift of speaking in tongues. And I didn't really know where to start, and I talked to Paul about this. And he suggested just sitting quietly at home and to just start praying and just start making some noises. And I did feel a bit silly, but I was on my own. Nobody was there to judge me. And actually, it was a great way to start. And over a few days of doing that, I found that actually it wasn't me that was carrying on making the sounds. God was stepping in, and he was beginning to speak this new language through me. And it's just been the most amazing tool that I can use to help so many other people. It's such a gift. And I know sometimes it can seem a little bit scary, but actually God, if he prays through us, he can get to the heart of the matter so much quicker than we ever can. And perhaps we don't even know what the issue is, but God knows. If he can speak through us, speaking his language, he can do so much more. Perhaps that might be something that you might want to think about this week. But there are many ways in which we can go deeper with God. There are many ways in which we can receive more of the Spirit. Perhaps you have a tentative yes about wanting to go deeper. You're a bit frightened, like to give it a go, but not quite sure. But God is such a gentleman. He takes us where he knows that we can cope with. He doesn't throw us in the deep end. I think it's just really important to remember that God is good, he's trustworthy, and he is a gentleman. So if you're thinking, actually, no, I don't really like the sounds of this, I don't really want to go deeper, then I just would like to read a bit of scripture which I think really answers our fears. Luke chapter 11, verse 11 says, "You fathers, if your children ask for a fish, do you give them a snake instead? Or if they ask for an egg, do you give them a scorpion? Of course not. So if you sinful people know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" Jesus is saying clearly that the gift of the Holy Spirit is a really good thing from a loving Father. So, if we have been filled more with the Holy Spirit, then what's next? I mean, it's a lovely thing for us to be filled with the Spirit, but it doesn't end there. It's about also what we do with that gift of the Holy Spirit. And this takes us on to the second section of the passage about where the river flows to and the effect that the river has on its surroundings. So we've talked about how in the passage, the river flows from the temple, past the altar, goes out the door, it flows through, goes to the east, and it flows through the desert, and it ends up at the Dead Sea. And it also reaches some towns up there. Perhaps for us, we can think about our church, and we can think about the river flowing out from here. Think about it coming past the altar, perhaps flowing out through our new doors from our annex, and perhaps flowing down to our city. This life-giving river is desperately needed in our city. It is needed by our friends and neighbours. We are the ones who can help to take this river to our city. A couple of weeks ago, John Coles was with us, and he was talking about how we ourselves and our bodies are temples. And perhaps we can think about the river flowing out of us as well. So when we go about to different places, meeting with different people, if that river is flowing out of us, then it will go and meet those people that we are with. So let's take the fruit of the trees that are growing on the riverbank and feed them to the hungry. Let's take the leaves of the trees on the riverbank. Take it to those who are broken, those who are hurting, bound by addiction, or poorly. God knows how to meet with all of these different people. We know that this city and this nation and the whole world needs to know the transforming love, peace, and forgiveness of Jesus. Sadly, we are living in a time when there is much evil about, and you know, we've tragically seen it this week, both in our own country, in Manchester, and also with the killing of the Coptic Christians in Egypt. We've just seen some really, really difficult things. I also believe that we've been living in a time of great apathy, where people are generally self-sufficient, and perhaps God has been surplus to requirements. But I wonder, with the state of things at the moment, perhaps people's attitudes might start to shift. Perhaps they may be a little bit more open to the idea of there being a God, someone who is sovereign over everything. Perhaps they might start looking for somebody who can bring some order to the chaos. So with that in mind, talking about reaching our city, hopefully, next Sunday, a few of us are going to go out into the city during the 11 o'clock service to pray for people in the streets of Salisbury and in the parks. And I would really invite anybody who would like to come and join us. So we'll be meeting in the coffee bar area at about 10:20 next week. And so we'll pray here before we go. And then we'll be out in the city whilst the service is going on. And the nice thing about doing it during that time is that we can say, you know, we're from St. Francis Church, and instead of being in the building today, we thought we'd come out and see if anybody would like some prayer for anything. And that's a really good way of kind of opening up the conversation. And I think if you've got some sentences to say, it just helps you to give you the courage to go and speak to people. So perhaps that's something that you might like to be involved in. I understand it's not for everybody, it's not everybody's cup of tea. But if God wants you to be there, I think he'll be giving you that little nudge today, saying you can do this, not in your own power, not in your own strength, but through him, through his Holy Spirit. And it's not just about going into the city. I think, you know, we need to meet each other's needs as well. So next week is going to be Pentecost. It's just a really good time to really pray for each other and to pray for our city. So the main gist of this sermon today and the theme for today is about going deeper and wider. So it's about going deeper with God, and it's about taking the message of Jesus and his love wider into the community and into our city. So let's just take a moment to pray. Lord, I just thank you that you love us just as we are, and you understand how we tick, how we feel about things, Lord. Lord, I just pray that you would give us the courage to move further along into the deeper waters of the river. Lord, I thank you that you don't mind how small our steps are, but you are so glad when we make movement in the right direction. Thank you that you want us to know you intimately and to be filled with your Spirit, Lord, so that we have your power at work in us when we go out doing your work. Lord, we pray that you will touch the people of our city as we go about our business this week. Help us to be intentional in reaching people, in speaking about you, and perhaps even asking people if they would like prayer for things if they're going through difficult times. Help us to be bold, Lord, in your name. Amen.